Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Thursday morning, so we are talking about knowing God, developing an intimate, supernatural relationship. We've been talking about the Lord's night visits and how important it is to be ready for them and to ask for them and to value them, that nighttime, when we're asleep or when we're awake, is the most valuable opportunity to increase our awareness of Him during the day. A lot of times, what is going on at night, we don't see right then, but we see a change in what is going on during the day. So we can, if at night, if we give God any time at all, He makes the most out of that time. It's a time of acceleration. It's a time of deep work without our interference. So if this topic is interesting to you at all, I really encourage you to both learn more about it, about the requirements of being a welcome habitation for God, how to make Him feel welcome, but also to do it, to try it out, to value your time at night, and to get up with Him, to set that aside, set time aside during the night to be your classroom time with Him. That this is such a valuable opportunity that so many don't take advantage of. If you do this, if you spend time with Him at night and really make Him welcome, and this is again a sacrifice of your time sleeping. It's a fast from sleeping. And because of the effects of this within you and to God, showing to God how much you want Him, this can be a real accelerating opportunity. If you're really wanting to hear His voice, if you're really wanting to know how He does things, what's going on in your life, if you really want to be able to hear Him and be confident that He's hearing you, this is a great time to do it, is at night. And we're not going to revisit a lot of the areas that we've already talked about, but in this series we've been talking about it a lot, so if it's something you're interested in, I do encourage you to listen to the archives. And if you want to go at your own pace, we do have books available, and you can go to the site at wecanprepare.org and look there on how to get these books. A lot of the material is there, obviously not all of it, but a lot of it is there. And some of the basics, we all learn differently, and so this is one of the reasons we're doing this audio tape. We've been doing these audio broadcasts. We've been doing written newsletters and books for quite some time, but everybody learns different. And when you reinforce, you'll see something different. If you normally learn by hearing, reading will reinforce. You'll see something different. You'll maybe think, oh, I know this, but seeing in print, your brain processes it differently. But also, it just gives the Lord another opportunity to express Himself in a different way because you're receiving it in a different way. So just value the time at night. Value the night seasons. Now, we do want to just, again, put out that word of caution that the same things that make it valuable to God make it valuable to our enemies. And we've talked about our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, that the world system, there'll be peer pressure. And there will be arguments about why you shouldn't do this, as well as your flesh. Your flesh is not going to want to give up its sleep. And this is both your physical body and your self-life. Very often in dreams, for instance, and just going to sleep, your soul is trying to work things out on its own. And by getting up and giving the night before you even go to bed, giving that night season to God and setting your mind on Him, giving Him permission and requesting Him to come and do His work in you, will deny your flesh access in a lot of areas where normally it's strengthening itself during the night rather than being submitted to what God is doing in your life. So many reasons to be aware of what's going on at night, so much more than we could have ever imagined. But also, the reasons that the Lord likes to visit us at night are also the reasons that make the night seasons an excellent time for demonic activities. When we are asleep, we are most vulnerable to the enemy's suggestions. And if he can get us to believe his lies at night, we are more ready to accept them as truth in the cold light of the day. Remember, that's who he is. He's a liar. Now, there's nothing to be afraid of here because he's already active. It's just we're going to start confronting him about his activity. Just be aware that the night is a battleground, especially if you are choosing to seek the Lord on your own. You are treading into territory the enemy has illegally laid claim to. He's a usurper. He will put up a fight. So be prepared to recognize his presence and exercise your authority as necessary. Over time, you may find much more going on in your life in the night seasons than you ever thought possible, which may in turn cause you to change your priorities during the day. This is important and, yes, exciting stuff. And the Lord wants us to enjoy learning to depend on Him for this warfare as well. There's nothing going on at night because you're aware of it that wasn't going on when you were unaware of it. If you are desiring and working towards an intimate knowledge with God, that's when you become an enemy to your enemies. When you are putting off learning how to rule and reign until some other day, until the sweet by and by, until you're seated in heavenly places, after you die and you're in heaven, you're no threat while you're here on this earth. You're no threat to the world, the flesh, or the devil. You're sort of the attitude, well, you just stay over there and don't bother me, and I won't bother you. But if you are going to pursue God, if your desire is to know Him now and experience what He's already given you in your spirit, if you want to experience it in your soul, you're going to have to kick out your enemies. You're going to have to confront them. And since that's what God wants you to do and what He's left you here on this earth to do, that is part of the process of knowing him, because it's part of the process of knowing yourself. These are your characteristics. As a spirit being, you now have the authority. You now have the responsibility. But God is your teacher, which again goes back to having confidence in hearing him. So hopefully we've looked at the patterns of what we can do in general. What habits can we develop? What practical objectives can we set for ourselves to pursue God? God wants to be wanted. And he's given us these great opportunities to know him. Every day is an opportunity to know him. Every day he is speaking to you. He is making himself known to you every single day. And so our challenge is to increase our awareness of that. Increase our awareness of who he is, of his voice, of his moving in our life. Now, part of that is going to learn to be comfortable in the supernatural realm. And again, the supernatural realm is where your soul communicates. The solical realm is where your soul abides, but your solical realm is a part of the supernatural realm in which other creatures abide. And this is goes back to why it's so important that we understand the difference between the supernatural and the spiritual, the soul and the spirit. Two totally different realms, two different authority levels, two different responsibilities, two different activities. And the spirit realm, we really have to get it into our heads that as a spirit being, you have absolute power and authority and responsibility over the supernatural realm and over the natural realm. If you need a refresher on this, I encourage you to go back to the beginning of the Practical Christianity series and double-check the chart that's available on the website at wecanprepare.org. That's the three realms chart, three realms of reality: spirit, soul, and body, the natural, the supernatural, and the spiritual. If we don't understand the battlefield, we are going to be wounded in any attempts to try to take on the battle. And we are at a battle, especially if you want to know God. And if you have any desire to know him, it's from him. So God's right there. He's going to teach you and give you exactly what you need when you need it. So we want to not be a collaborator. We don't want to just go with the flow. We want to be specific and active and even aggressive in learning about the supernatural realm. We don't want to be passive. Learning the supernatural realm is your responsibility. It's God has enticed you, but again, he wants you to want him. Once you've experienced this level of knowing of him, you're spoiled for anything else because now you know there's more. I think this is a real reason why people don't even want to go there. It's like, my life is full enough as it is. And God says, you know, okay. And there's nothing you or I can do about that except continue on. Pursuing God, pursuing what he has for each one of us. God has a purpose for each one of us as far as timing. His plans, we're not obviously all at the same place at the same time. And we have our responsibility and authority extends to what God has in front of us. In other words, it's none of our business to go out and correct anyone else. Now, we are to judge them, but we don't correct them. We don't act on that judgment. All judgment is evaluation. When you say that person, you know, let's just use a totally different, non-Christian evaluation. When you say that person's looks, I really like the way they're dressed, or that person has a beautiful smile, or that person is so nice, you're judging them. Okay? You're just judging them for good. You're finding the good about them. But all judgment is an objective evaluation. So there's nothing to hide from. We've gotten this idea about judgment, that judgment is, you know, we're not supposed to be critical, we're not supposed to be, you know, looking at anything they're doing, or the opposite, is that it's our job to fix everything everybody else is doing, because we are the only ones who know what's right. Well, it's funny, because we do tend to think that judgment is all about the negative. And it's not. Like I said, just, you know, when you're looking for the good, even, you're judging. And it's appropriate. But we are also supposed to be judging. Then again, it doesn't mean it's your responsibility to act on it. You can judge and see when someone's going down the wrong track, or has done something destructive to you or to themselves. It is not a part of correct judgment to act on that. You can see that they're doing wrong, but unless the Lord specifically puts you in a relationship with them, it's none of your business. Unless it affects you, it's none of your business. That's between them and God. Your first job is to know God. Now, there may come times when you will find yourself saying something or doing something, but it won't be because you've decided to do it. You are acting on your judgment. It's because God is doing it through you. And I will say that most of the time, what God is doing through us, we don't know about it. Because if we knew about it, we would interfere with it. So I suspect that the more we become aware, and the more our senses are tuned, we will see much more how God is using us, and even how he would like to use us, but we're interfering with him. So it's an exciting life. And it's satisfying. It's fulfilling. There's nothing that can compare with knowing God. Because this is our true, what we were originally created for, to know him. This is eternal life, to know God. This is where we, being in his presence, being able to receive everything he wants to give, this is where we are truly able to be at rest. And this is also where we are the most active. There was nothing passive about Jesus, and yet that's all we're trying to get to, is to know God, know the Father, through him and in him, as he knows the Father. And to experience, you know, greater things shall you do. People are so concerned that us, the end days, it's the, you know, the last time, you know, the end of the age, the judgment's coming. Well, God may be doing something new. In fact, he does something new every morning. But that's only from our perspective. You know, God created time. It's summed up in him to think that he even travels through time. Is a misunderstanding of the nature of time. But what we want to look at is even the clues we've been given about what he's doing next. The church will be without spot or wrinkle. The church will be perfected. I don't care about the earthquakes and the wars and the, you know, political and the financial disasters and the, you know, the floods and whatever. The church will be without spot or wrinkle. The church will have been perfected. And folks, we are so far from that, that it's easy to say this is not the end of anything on this earth. Odds are we're just moving into the next phase of whatever God has. And you know what's fun is we try to predict what it is, what it's going to look like, what it's going to be. And we won't be able to. It's going to be totally different than what we expect. You know, when Jesus was walking around on this earth in the flesh, he was merely doing what his Father wanted him to be doing, moment by moment, day by day. And yet, what he was doing changed everything. But he didn't come, you know, okay, this is my job. I'm going to be the savior of the world. He had to learn that moment by moment, day by day. And his Father taught him. And everything he did was a first for him. Likewise with us. So this is one reason it's so important that we not be concerned about making mistakes. You're free to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. It's part of our walk with him. It's part of who we are. It's part of the process of knowing him altogether. So as we know him more, and respond to his teaching. Do the homework. When we pursue him and take advantage of every opportunity he gives us, we are prepared. We are made ready. And it's so fascinating how that's really the most we can do. Now, I do believe that the more we know him, the more we hear him and accurately receive information from him and commune with him and are one with him, the more of his secrets he can tell us. But when I look around, so many people that I suspect that those that have been bigwigs in the last movement of Christianity in the world aren't going to be usable in the next. Not all of them, but many. Because they're not prepared. They've learned what they needed to learn, and they learned how to do things and approach things. But God's got a new wineskin, and so many, what God has tried to entice them with himself, with revelation, with understanding, and rather than pursuing that on an individual basis, there's this presumption within so many of us that if God shows me something, I have to give it. And all it would take is a very simple, you know, Lord, is this just between you and I? or is this something I should be sharing with others? If you can't keep a secret, there's a limit to the secrets God can share with you. Do you want to know? Do you want to be a confidant of God? God wants you to be. God wants to share his secrets with us. He wants us to know what he has planned. But without our reliability, without us being ready and prepared and trained and confident, we'll just go around blabbing all God's secrets. And he won't allow that to happen. So he keeps his secrets. But whatever desire you have to know God, pursue it. Now, we've talked about moving in the supernatural, and we're going to start going through some the steps. These steps are not in any way to counter what anyone else is teaching out there. What we've done is we've tried to narrow it down, narrow an approach down to its most dependent on God and its easiest, simplest, quickest way of getting from wherever you are to having full, complete experiences in the supernatural realm, depending on God. So we've called them the 8 steps to engaging the supernatural. And again, if you need to revisit what's going on in the supernatural realm, check out the chart and refresh your memory about what the supernatural realm is and the difference, the distinction. It's very important to remind ourselves of the difference between the supernatural and the spiritual realm. You're a spirit being. You're not a supernatural being. But there are only 2 kinds of spirit beings, you and God. And since you're one, there's really only 1 kind. But angels are supernatural beings. They're not spiritual. Demons are supernatural beings. They're not spiritual. Animals, ghosts, aliens, whatever kind of creature out there, whether you think they exist, doesn't really matter. Whatever it is, they're supernatural beings. They're not spiritual beings. By that relationship alone, you, as a spirit being, have authority over them. By virtue of your identity, by who you are in relationship to God. And it's not how much you believe, or if you're believing lies, or if you're wounded, or how many, you know, how long you've been a Christian, how long you've been a spirit being. It's all or nothing. You are either dead in your spirit or alive. So we're going to go through these 8 steps to engaging the supernatural. And what I encourage you to do is set aside a time in your life to value learning how the supernatural realm works. Ask the Lord how often you should set aside for this, how many minutes, and then start doing it. Get out a notebook so you can record what happens, what changes happen in your life, what changes are happening in your life because of your spending time at night with him. He has such a world of opportunity for us every single day. And we spend it instead filling it with things that quicken our natural senses rather than our soulical senses. So we have the opportunities God wants to be wanted. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again at 9 o'clock on Saturday. Until then, have a great day. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.